Thank you, Willie. Well, I'm going to start off by asking three questions. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you three quotes. I'm going to do them one at a time. And when I get done with saying the quote, then I'll ask you if you know who said this, those words, okay? I believe the first one, everybody's going to get it. So just feel free, just as soon as I read the quote, shout out what your answer is, who you think said this. Here it is. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
John F. Kennedy.
See, so the whole crowd, I could hear it from side to side. Here's the second one. Who said this? Do to others what you would like them to do to you.
Mother.
Your mother. Okay. Yeah. Well, we don't know your mother, but there's someone a little more famous in addition to your mother.
I told you not to talk.
Oh, oh dear. Yeah. Well, at Kennard, the answer came out, well, it's in the Bible. And it's like, okay, it is in the Bible. Do we know who said it? And actually, Jesus is the one who said that, and it's recorded in both Matthew and Luke. So you probably knew that, especially once I said the answer. It's like when I'm watching Jeopardy. As soon as they say the answer, it's like, I knew that. Okay, here's this next one, the last one. Unless you're a country music fan, pretty dedicated, you may or may not have heard this song. And that's what today's message is based on. But here's the quote from that song. I want you to tell me who sung it. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. I'll say it one more time. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. Randy Travis, we got the answer right up here. And so whoever has the prize, if you'll bring it up to David. Well, the quote, I kind of have alluded to this. The quote is from today's country song. And for the folks that are new, the last several weeks, I've been taking a country song, new or old, and then bringing out a gospel message from the lyrics. I thought I would just have three or four of those types of messages. Come to find out, after people gave me some more ideas of songs, I've got this one and three more after this. I'll finish up the first Sunday in November is the plan, and it'll be 4 months worth of these country songs, the God and Country series.
What are you going to do? Stand by your man and D-I-D-O-R-C-U?
Well, that'll be part of our counseling with me and you and Gerald. Yeah, that'll come later. Well, the quote is from today's country song by Randy Travis. The song became Travis's 16th number one single. Three Wooden Crosses is the name of the song. And it was named Song of the Year by Country Music Association in 2003. And it won a Dove Award from the Gospel Music Association in 2004 for Song of the Year. Country Song of the Year. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the lyrics. But I'm not going to read all the way to the end. I'm going to stop at a certain point, make sure we know what has happened in the message of the song. Then I'll finish the song and we'll get into the message itself. Here are the lyrics to Three Wooden Crosses. A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One's headed for vacation, one for higher education. And two of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never saw the stop sign. And 18-wheelers don't stop on a dime. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That farmer left a harvest and a home of 80 acres, the faith for growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children, did her best to give them a better start. And that preacher whispered, "Can't you see the promised land?" as he laid that blood-stained Bible in that hooker's hand. There are three wooden crosses on the right-hand side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. So let me pause here before we get to the end of the song. The song mentions that the farmer and the teacher were killed instantly in the wreck. The farmer left his harvest to a son who would follow in his footsteps, and the teacher left the knowledge into the children she taught. It also mentions that the preacher lays his blood-stained Bible in the hands of the hooker and asking her if she could see the promised land. So here's how the song ends. That's the story our preacher told last Sunday as he held up that blood-stained Bible for all to see. He said, bless the farmer, bless the teacher, and the preacher who gave this Bible to my mama who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right-hand side of the highway. Why there was not four of them? Now we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. So the song ends and reveals that the story was being told by the preacher during the Sunday church service. In a twist, it reveals that the hooker had a son. The hooker survived and she had a son. And the preacher telling the story is indeed the son. And he's holding up that bloodstained Bible as proof. Her son, or she read that Bible to her son, who had, and it had been given to her by that dying preacher. And then in turn, he eventually read it himself, obviously, and became a preacher. So again, it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. Here's the point of the message today that the song illustrates. There's a ripple effect from our lives to others' lives. There's a ripple effect of how we live our lives or what things we do in our life that will affect others, good or bad. In this case, it turned out to be quite a good thing. And we may never live long enough to see how the ripple effect turns out. For instance, the two people in this song died instantly, and yet the preacher and the hooker are still alive. And then there's the bloodstained Bible, and can't you see the promised land? Yet we don't know who was the one that lived until the song is over. The preacher had no idea when he died and gave that Bible to this lady, tried to preach to her in the last of what he thought was maybe both of their lives to see the promised land, to accept Christ. He had no idea she had received the Bible, had no idea she would read the Bible, had no idea she would maybe even have been pregnant and would read that Bible to her son, who would then grow up to be a preacher, who would then be standing inside of a church service telling the story of what happened to his mom on that trip those years ago. And who knows how many lives he changed. The ripple effect of that Bible changed all kinds of lives. Well, what I want to do is I want to turn to John chapter 4. And John chapter 4, starting with verse 3, but I'm going to go through the first several verses that I read fairly quickly, and then I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to stop and make some comments in between some verses. And I'm going to skip ahead to some other verses. So, Ron, I know you'll be back there following along as best you can. I'll give you as much notice, but we're going to start with verse 3, chapter 4. This is in John where he tells the story about the Samaritan woman at the well. And I bet we've all heard 100 sermons about the woman at the well. Well, I want to maybe tell this with another point. The point being this ripple effect that lives can have on other lives. It says that Jesus, in verse 3, Jesus was leaving Judea and returning to Galilee. Well, let me just real quickly before we go on make sure we know what's happening. Judea is in the south. Galilee is in the north. Samaria is going to be in between. And just a real quick reminder, the Jews hated Samaritans. So for the most part, people would take the long way around. But Jesus, his plan with his disciples on this trip was they're going right through Samaria to go from Judea to Galilee. So he had to go through Samaria on the way. Well, eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refuse to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, "Well, you are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied in verse 13, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Man, this is some pretty good water Jesus is peddling. What is it, like Aquafina or Evian, something like that? Maybe it's something that eventually Ponce de Leon would be out looking for, the Fountain of Youth. This must be some pretty good water. And in verse 15, it says, "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." And when I read that particular sentence that she said, it's like, I don't think she was so concerned about getting the water as much as she was concerned about not having to go to the well. Hey, this will save me a trip if this guy, she didn't know who he was yet. If this guy's got some good water and saved me daily trips to the well, I'm all for that. And then he says in verse 16, "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. And Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. For you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." Then I'm going to skip on down to verse 25. The woman said, "Well, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to her, to us." And then here's what Jesus says to her, "I am the Messiah." He looks her right in the eye after she tells him about this Messiah that's to come. And he says to her, "That's me. I am the Messiah." And I'm thinking, what must have gone through that lady's mind right then? Was it, where's the motorcade? Where are all the Secret Service agents? Is there a band and parade I missed? I mean, when the Messiah is coming, I'm assuming it'd be a whole lot different than this. I'm assuming he wouldn't come to my little village. Certainly he wouldn't come to Samaritans. Certainly he wouldn't come to a woman. Certainly he wouldn't come to me. But he's talking to me. Well, skipping down to verse 28. The woman left her water jar beside the well and she ran back to the village telling everyone. I mean, she came with empty jars and she left with an empty jar still sitting at the well. She never got what she came for, at least what she thought she was coming for. And when she got back to the village, she told everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. All she said was, I think this might be the Messiah. He told me everything I ever did. And that was enough for the folks in the village to say, turn off dinner, get dressed, honey, get your shoes on, kids, get your jacket. We're going to check this out. She came there to the well for a mundane purpose, just to get water. She'd done it every day for who knows how long. And yet she left that well for what would become an extraordinary purpose. And we're going to find out, just like hearing that song and I stopped and we don't know how it ends. We've stopped here in the middle of this story and we don't know how it ends. All we know is she's back to the village and people are now on their way. I'm going to skip down to verse 39 next. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, quote, he told me everything I ever did. Now, let me read that again, because if you just read this, you're going to go on to the next verse and not catch what just happened. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman said, he told me everything I ever did. Now, see, I would think if you're going to change a village like this and cause people to believe in Jesus, well, you've got to rent out Lucas Oil Stadium and sell tickets. Have a big praise band, have some neat speakers to warm up for the preacher who's going to deliver this message so that all of Indianapolis, all of Marion County could believe in Jesus. Or maybe one way that this lady could have done it is she could have written a Bible commentary or something on the Torah explaining how what the Torah means and how to apply it to everyday life. Or maybe she could have taught a great Sunday school lesson and even just that few in her class could believe in Jesus based on what she taught. Or even as we're thinking about songs, maybe she could have written a number one hit, a Christian song, and that would be so impactful that it would cause folks to believe. And that's what we would expect. And maybe that's what you expect. That's the only way to get people to believe in Jesus. And yet what this story tells us is the woman met Jesus. He affected her. She went back to the village and just said this, he told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? She didn't even know for sure herself yet. And they all came out to see. Verse 40, when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed 2 more days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, catch this, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. And now we know he is indeed Savior of the world. Did you see the ripple effect? She was just going to get it water like she did every day. She meets Jesus. He affects her. She goes back to her village and says, this is how this guy affected me, told me everything I ever did. And then people came. And it seems like almost an entire village was saved to believe in Jesus. I've got a little Bible that I have in my pocket this morning. And it's a New Testament with the Psalms. It's really colorful, beautiful cover. And it goes, spills over onto the back. Jesus, and there's children hunkered around him. And within the Bible, there are colored pictures. Best I can open it up. There's just, half a dozen maybe, pictures that are inside this Bible. Inside the cover, it says this, presented to Robert Lines Jr. by Grandma Lines, and the date was December 23rd, 1962. I was 7 years old. I didn't go to church. Our family didn't go to church. We went on Christmas and Easter, that type of thing. And but somehow or other, and I don't even remember what the occasion was. Obviously, this must have been Christmas time. And maybe Grandma gave this to all the grandkids that were a certain age at that time. I don't even remember. But what I do remember is how pretty the pictures were. I mean, this is so bright and colorful and such like that. And so I would look at those pictures of Jesus with the children. I would open up this little Bible and just look at the pictures. 7 years old, I don't think I could read that well. Sometimes I wonder if I could read that well now. So I didn't read this the word. I just looked at the pictures. And then I would lay it on my dresser or somewhere, and then occasionally pick it back up, look through those pictures again, lay it back down. I'm wondering if what Grandma Lines did in 1962, when I was 7 years old, wasn't one of the things that was a ripple that went through my life, through all the ups and downs, sideways and everything. Maybe your life has been like that too. That somehow, about 9 years ago, brought me into the ministry at age 56. And you know what? She didn't preach a great message. I don't remember her saying a word. Wasn't my Sunday school teacher. She didn't write a great number one Christian hit song or author a Bible commentary. All she did, as far as I know, is she just went to a store and bought this Bible and gave it to a grandchild, 7 years old. And maybe I'm part of the ripple effect, and that's what part of what got me here to Caddis Friends Church today. Yeah, I'm going to finish now, so I don't know if one of you want to go up or both of you go up for our closing song. But I'm getting to the point now, so how do we apply all this that we've learned today? What can you do? What can we do? Well, I would say just do what the woman at the well did. However Jesus has affected you, just tell someone about that. Not how Bob affected you. Not how the beautiful music affected you. Maybe not even how a testimony affected you. It could be any and all those things. But how did Jesus affect you? How is Jesus affecting you? And then when you tell the people, then it's up to them to do with it what they want. When the woman from the well went back and told her village, I think it might be the Messiah, he told me everything I've ever done, they could have said, great. we don't think much of you to begin with, so we don't know if we even want to trust what you've said. But something happened, and they curiously went and met him for themselves, and we know the rest is history. And who knows who you might affect? Who knows what ripple effect you might cause when you tell the people that you work with, the people that you go to school with, the people in your office, the factory, the neighborhood? Who knows? You might end up affecting your entire village. So once more, before we sing our closing song, once more, like the song says, I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you. And maybe it's something as simple as this when you go. So what is our closing song this morning?
I Surrender All.
Sounds good to me.
To Jesus I surrender all.
Father, we thank you for giving us that opportunity to surrender. If we're holding something back today, let us give it up to you even right now, even before we leave. Let's just leave it here. And Father, help us to go out and cause that ripple effect, even starting today. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.